Eyes with Amanda Shandy and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
And I'm Shandy.
And you might have noticed that Amanda is missing. She is having fun at the beach right now. I believe she had like a personal chef coming to like cook to them all tonight. But we have a super special surprise guest, and that is the wonderful Angela.
Hey, what's up? Not Amanda, but another A. So
another A.
It's in. Do not have a personal chef cooking for me tonight, unfortunately. That sounds great.
I think it was like a birthday gift or something for her sister-in-law or something. But anyway.
Sounds awesome.
I know. She left us a voicemail, so we will get to that a little bit later in the show. But if you guys might remember that Angela joined us for our season one Big Little Lies centric episode that was released on the feed a couple of weeks ago. So she should be a familiar face, a familiar voice to everybody.
Yeah, that was so long ago too. It's so crazy to think about, but yeah, I was here.
That was 2 years ago. That was before I was even pregnant with Alex and before you were pregnant with Asher, clearly.
We've had children
in between.
We could all move to Monterey and live with Shandy in California and raise our children in... No, we shouldn't do that.
Only if we can have disco parties. I kind of like this game, figuring out like
who would be which character.
I don't think any of us should be any of those characters. I want to be Ed if I can wear that wig. If I can go to the Amabella's party, then I'll move there.
Dude, that party was... I'm not going to lie. I was really jealous that I wasn't at that party. And I was trying to wonder, could I do that for Alex's second birthday party? Because he's too little to know the difference.
Yeah. You could do it, but we could not pull it off as well as they could.
That's true.
We just couldn't. It was produced by Hollywood. The whole season was worth it for that party. I was fine.
I know. I kind of wish that I had a daughter right now so I could wear matching mommy daughter like gold Oscar dresses.
So cute. I'm so cute.
It was really awesome.
I mean, you could just like mother boy it up.
Totally. Or you could wear like jumpsuits like those, what are they called? I forget what they're called, but you could do like matching like jumpsuits.
That's true.
Yeah. Unisex. Oh my God. Works.
Yeah, that's totally true.
Be like a little Partridge Family. You could all wear matching outfits.
Right. Well, Zach won't do it anymore because he's 5. But Alex, the window is slowly closing. I think I've gotten
to do it if you tell him
2.5.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, right. You will not wear this jumpsuit.
I'll have to.
Yeah, good times. Anyway, hot takes before we get into a deeper discussion. What do you guys think? Quick reactions. The slap heard around the world.
Yeah.
Yikes. Well, this episode I felt was definitely better than last week's episode.
Okay.
I don't know, in my opinion. I liked it more. There's more going on. Maybe I liked it for the party.
The party was great. I was so expecting, like, for the whole week to be in this episode. And I wasn't, so...
Oh, okay.
You know, so, that's fine.
I think they definitely tried to, like, get us in it with the type, like, she knows. You know, like, what does she know? Like, I think they tried to make us feel like maybe Mary Beth, like, what's her face? Mary Louise. Like, knows the lie, like, knows that he was pushed. I think that's what they were trying to get us to think.
Well, I think it's interesting because I was trying to figure out after we watched it, who is the she and she knows? Is it Mary Louise? Is it Detective Quinlan? Is it Elizabeth? Like,
so many she's.
Elizabeth has visions. Yeah, like, who is the she that knows? It's clearly not Madeline or Celeste because right now girlfriends aren't knowing anything.
Or maybe it's, I mean, it could be Madeline. Like, she knows, like, she fucked up, maybe. I don't know, but... I think that's a little too vague. Celeste doesn't know anything. She's tripping on Ambien. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, she does not.
I don't know. Maybe it's Sky. She knows she's doomed by her genetics.
Or Amabella. She's like, man.
That poor little girl is so sweet looking.
She's so sweet looking, and she just looks so miserable throughout most of the episode.
I last week just had me rolling with Dr. What's her name? Dr. Bo Peep.
Yeah.
Dr. Sheep or whatever her name was.
Yeah, just, Dr. Like, Peep died. Or whatever. I know.
I was like, that's going to be Asher. It's going to be my son. Like, what are his anxieties? Well, he's mostly just worried about the climate end of change. The world. Like, yeah. All right. That's
well,
fair.
You know, somebody's got to be worried about climate change. Yeah. If it's not our parents, it's our children.
Yeah. Right.
Before we get into anything else, I'd like to thank the patrons who make this all possible. If you'd like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/jayandjack, and it benefits the whole network, or you can go to jayandjack.com and click on the Become a Patron link at the top of the page. If you are not already subscribed to our individual iTunes feed, or we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, a whole bunch of other things, please feel free to, if you have a second, give us a 5-star review, because that really helps us out. And okay, now I am done with the boring, awkward part of the episode. I feel like this is everybody else's like pee break time, like it's their commercial break, where I'm like, thanks for being a patron.
Don't people just pee while they listen to podcasts, though?
Probably.
True.
Unless you have like a heavy pee stream and you have to pause it.
Maybe.
Anyways. All right. Yeah. So let's, I guess, get into. Oh, actually, we have some feedback about last week's before we go into it. The first thing is we had made fun of a bit, and we also made fun of it on the broadcast, our other podcast that Shani, Amanda, and I do. That
and by we, you mean two-thirds of y'all.
Yeah. Well, Angela has also been on it as well. Hashtag sad fat dragon with no friends.
Hashtag, yes. Oh my gosh, just throwback.
No, but two-thirds of y'all have been making fun of the thing you're about to say you're making fun of.
Yes. Well, two of the three of us did not like... We had a discussion last week on Jane's bangs. And Shailene Woodward, is that her name? Woodward?
Yeah, Shailene
Woodley.
Woodward.
Shailene Woodley. Woodley gave an interview.
Name.
Awesome. Great podcasting, guys. That was all on me, though, because her name is in front of me and I couldn't read it. she gave an interview to The Hollywood Reporter, and the question was, Jane's new bangs were your ideas. What does her season 2 look represent? And she responded, I've been in this position in my life where after a major breakup, triumph, or celebration, or after a big change, a lot of people alter the way they look. I know for myself, it's always been haircuts and piercings. It's been my way of moving forward in new chapters of my life. I felt that for Jane, she's carried this weight of not feeling... in her own body because of what happened to her for 8 years. She felt disconnected from her own identity on not just an emotional and mental level, but a physical level as well. At the end of season 1, where Perry died, I felt like maybe 2 or 3 weeks after that incident, she would have woken up one morning, looked at herself in the mirror and thought, quote, this isn't who I am anymore. The monster is gone and I'm not going to let him live in me or control me any longer, unquote. In that moment, I felt like she took a pair of scissors and cut her bangs herself. And then she went through her closet and gathered up almost everything and took it to the nearest clothing swap store and donated it and got new clothes in order to reestablish and be in control of her identity again. I felt like this would have been her reclaiming her space, even if it was a subconscious decision, because this ghost has been a part of her identity for so long, had left them on a physical level.
Okay.
Okay, look, respect to that, but they still look ugly.
Yeah, no, like, I get it. It's a choice. I get it. She cut her own bangs. Yeah. Fair. So she cut them, and then she got home from the clothing swap, and she looked in the mirror and was like, oh, no. And she got a bobby pin, and she pinned them back.
That's what
and
I
now they're
done.
Growing out.
And now they're growing
one
out.
Does when they cut their own bangs. I've gotten bangs before. This is my take on bangs. First of all, there are very few people who can pull off bangs. There very few.
I'm yeah, from Long Island. No, there are not. No. There are, it's a very, you're right, very few.
Very few people. And so I've gotten bangs before. Like when I was younger, I had bangs, like whatever. You get bangs in your life. It happens. I've gotten bangs and like immediately, I'm going to say within weeks of getting bangs, you try to grow them out. And what you do is you clip them back. You pull them back and you bobby pin them. So I don't know. The fact that she still has the bangs is just, it's frustrating. They're just not, they just don't look good. Like if she, like, cool, you cut your own bangs, you're changing your look, you're reclaiming yourself.
Right.
It's just not, it's not the right look. I don't know. I dye her red. Get right. a bob.
I have to agree because I had bangs for 33 years and I am now 35. And you know something? They did not work for me once I graduated middle school. So, like,
I will still continue to be the minority voice, although there are some people in the comments who agree with me who like the look. And I think they look good on her. But that's okay. We don't have to agree about her bangs.
I will say, though, in this episode, I turned to Mike and I was just like, oh, she looks so good in this episode at the party. And I realized it's because she had a big head scarf in front of her.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she looks so cute. Mike was like, her bangs are covered.
Yeah, Mike, well, you know,
he hates bangs. Hates them.
In a world, so does Jay.
Cringe.
In a world where women, our rights are being, you know, threatened more and more every day, we still have the right to make the choice to have terrible bangs. So
yeah, live
let's
your life.
Let's rock that, ladies.
Sure, she can have the terrible bangs. I don't have to like them.
Exactly. But
also,
now,
they're a little greasy. Like, it's kind of. Just,
I
like,
think that that's a big part of it.
Yeah,
I will say that Jamie Joe agreed with Shandy, and she said in the comments on the Facebook page, "Jane's bangs are fantastic. They are definitely not for every face shape, but they suit her." I even said to my husband, "I'm jealous of her ability to work that style so well, rocking her inner Betty Page." Now the way she wears, rests a hat. Ugh, pull that hat down and actually wear it.
Yeah, her style is interesting, that's for sure.
But so you weren't alone, Shandy.
I was not. I feel like there was somebody else too.
I think that there was
are more of us. There are tens of us.
There are dozens of us.
Dozens. Well, and it is refreshing to hear that it was thought through and it wasn't just like
right
some random choice to have her like change her hair. So
I mean, right. This is Big Little Lies we're talking about. Like, I feel like we can
that's
assume
true.
That, yeah,
that's
probably
true.
Everything's, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Just a couple more things to wrap up for last week. Axel Foley said, been enjoying your podcast. We're covering it as well. Wait, hold on. Angel, do you have access to this document? Do you want access to it? Because I don't see
it's okay. I'm enjoying listening to your voice.
Okay, great. Really? So many people don't.
okay. I'm good. I don't want to mess up the internet, so don't okay. share it.
Fantastic. All right. Axel Foley says, been enjoying your podcast. We're covering the show as well. Maybe we can team up for a season wrap up. Well, like I told Axel, we're down.
Sounds
we
fun.
Like yeah, we like to talk. We'll talk with you. Actually, I love Axel. He's one of my favorite podcasters, so stay tuned for that, guys. Christy said, and I think this is something, Shandy, you might have wanted to speak on later as well, Jane's apartment. She said, is Jane's apartment building the same apartment building that Celeste was looking at renting last year? Maybe she took over her lease.
Yeah, and that's something that Tasia actually pointed out to me too. And it's totally true that the apartment building that Celeste visits is in these apartments. And so now I have to wonder... again, like we were just saying, like everything in Big Little Lies is thought out, but I could see this either being there's like some we're meant to understand some subtext of like, okay, maybe she took over Celeste's lease, or just like the location scouts were like, we yeah, should yeah. really use this for something.
Yeah.
I think it's well, now that there's the tie between Mary Louise renting up space yeah. in that same building, it might be more the second one.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I feel like it would be too much if it was like Celeste gave it to Jane and now it's also, it'd be like three things. It would be like mm-hmm. a lot.
But. Yeah. Location Scouts got a really good deal on it.
Yeah. Jane, however, did Jane, not get however. A really good deal on it. And we're the jury's still out on how she's affording that. But
mm-hmm.
Well, it's a lot of money.
Speaking of Shandy's expertise, Dennis said, could there be a Big Little Lies tour company in Shandy and Frank's future once the series is over? They do have that in Hawaii for Lost residents that will give tours for.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta take advantage.
Yeah. You know, capitalism, baby. Get that money.
Because that's definitely Shandy.
That is so Shandy.
Well, I do have I did have a failed attempt at a tour company, so that's kind of ironic. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
And then to finish up, I'm sorry, here is... Shandy, we missed this before. Gail said, just caught up. I know there was a lot of talk about Jane's new hairdo. I was ready to hate it, but it was just the opposite. I love it.
Gail for the win. I knew there was somebody else. Love you, girl. Thank you. If it's two people, it's just a coincidence. If it's three, we're on to something.
Right.
Dozens of us.
There are now dozens of you. It's like with the AP. They'll only print when they have two, like, you know, confirmed sources. Mm-hmm. Now you've got two other people that are with you.
There we go.
All right. Let's get into the actual discussion for this episode. Where do we start? We can start with Madeline this time, since we usually save her to the end. We kick off the episode with her having a nightmare about that night, and then her episode, her, you know, next few days don't get any better.
No. No. I feel like Reese Witherspoon's doing a really good job this season, because she was very one note in the previous season. It was mm-hmm. all like one level, just very sort of like moving train, just nonstop. And now she's like, hit this wall of it isn't going to be okay. Like, I can't fix this. Like,
yes.
And what do I do? So I do feel like she's giving a great performance in that regard. So I'm loving her. Really showing her Oscar-worthy chops.
Yes,
There is that one scene where it's like Nicole Kidman and Meryl Streep and Reese Witherspoon. You're like, these are three just like, stellar Oscar winners, and you're just like, what the heck is going on right now?
Yes. And crazy. That scene, yeah, even though the scene that's the one at the end where she comes in and she's like, I think we need to have a discussion, and Madeline is like, oh, does this mean you want me to leave? Like, even in that small little interaction, you're like, queens, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, everything just has so, she's just killing it. I don't know.
She is. Like, and it's, I think that Ed kind of has done a good job sort of narrating it to us, in that, mm-hmm. you know, he points out, like, this is pretending. You have two levels.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're up here or, you know, you're not. Like, there's no in between with you. And I think that we're seeing her kind of fight between both, where she probably is going to be forced to learn, like, to grow, right, as a character, to find that in between, because we haven't,
she's like discovering it,
right. And then as far as Madeline goes, because we've I kind of felt like she clearly is wants to work with Ed, and he's clearly still hurt, and, you know, whether or not he's being kind of a dick to her, like,
yeah, it's
clearly,
unclear if he's like just punishing her or if he actually is out on the relationship,
right?
It's like, but not quite certain, you know.
But yeah, but they, I think it was kind of telltale where at the end of the episode, he was like, you know, are you okay? And she was like, just tell me, like, mm-hmm. if you're leaving, just go.
Yeah,
like, you know, she kind of had given up, and that was when I think sometimes it's like, you know, you fight, you have a fight with somebody, and, you know, you're like, you finally just go, you know what, you win. Like, you win. And then, like, 20 seconds later, they're like, okay, you win. You can have, you know, whatever it is. Like, I didn't mean it. I just wanted you to, like, say, you know, that I won. I don't know.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Okay.
Well, and there's that scene where he comes home and she's just, like, manic in the kitchen, like, talking. Like, her, like, season one, Madeline.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, like, you, this is, and it made it like very, very clear how well she's been acting this season, because you're like, oh, she hasn't been acting like this at all this season.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, she's totally different. So it's kind of right. interesting.
And yeah. like super fair point on his part too. Like where was that fire for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I thought was really interesting. But yeah, I don't think Ed's going anywhere.
No, and he even says I think still here.
Yeah. yeah.
the although the person just said, FYI, no big deal, whatever, it's fine.
That is a big deal. It's a huge deal.
You know, I that he said, like, I'm still here.
Yeah.
You know, I
yeah.
think was like you're saying, Colleen, that's very very telling. And then I liked how they did set this up, because again, I was like convinced I was gonna be in this episode, but it would have felt really rushed. And so this is, they've planted the seed. She was like, I heard about this thing in Big Sur. And he, you know, doesn't really, he like brushes it off at first, but she planted the seed.
She planted the seed. And then you find out that at the party that he agreed to go, where she tells Celeste and Renata? Yeah,
it's a couples camping.
Yeah, right? That they're going to the couples camping. So then she
says, I totally missed that.
Yeah, I missed it the first time, but I caught it the second time. Then she says nice. That they're going to go. And then, but then I felt terrible at the end where she, you know, tries to like snuggle him and like make a move.
Oh, yeah.
And he's
too
like,
soon. Yeah, just
yeah,
too
he
soon.
Like does that like yawn thing. Yeah. Like
it was like not even just snuggling though. I think she was trying to like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was trying to start sexy time.
Yeah, which I think was maybe a little far. I think if it had been more of a romantic situation, maybe he would have been more open to that. Like,
let's like maybe they can hold
huddle.
Hands.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. One step at a time, Madeline. Yeah.
Right.
Yikes!
Yikes!
I've been watching a lot of Love Island in preparation for the American version, so it was very like reminiscent of that.
Not really. And then as far as Ed, just to wrap it up, if this Madeline thing doesn't work out, I'm kind of here for the Bonnie and Ed spinoff.
Oh, shipping it for sure.
Okay, great.
She can do better. She can do better. I'm really glad that we're not getting that much of Nathan this season, because he was so boring. Like, he's so just like vanilla toast. Like, I just like have no,
he is,
no
which
patience
that,
for him.
The fact that he is like, you know, rich jar of mayonnaise kind of is what makes me feel like that is what didn't work out with him and Madeline to begin with, is that
totally.
You know, she's like spicy
there's
mayo and he's like, she's like spicy mustard and he's like mayonnaise, so
but just, then where, like what condiment is Ed in all of this?
Yellow mustard.
Well, I just think there's more substance to Ed than like meets the eye.
No, horseradish.
I mean, Madeline can at least have like an intelligent conversation with him.
Nathan, you try to, and he just like pawns you off on somebody else. You know, like he tries to talk to Bonnie, and he's like,
right,
it's not working. Let me see if Ed can talk to her. Like, no, dude.
Which,
still not working. So I'll call her mom, and meanwhile, get in a physical altercation with Ed.
By the way, that was so funny, awkward, because I do think that they were just kind of like not at like. It seemed like it was still kind of at that like joking level where it wasn't like animosity yet. But Renata, of course, was so funny where she's like, this is just happiness today. Like babies.
You know, I love her. She's probably my favorite character this season, Renata.
She's
killing it.
Stellar.
I read a blog post that called that after the quote, it was something like, Laura Dern is acting like she's in a Spanish soap opera this season.
Yeah.
I was like,
well, she is the Medusa of Monterey.
She is the Medusa of Monterey. She's fucking Shakespearean, okay?
She is. No, she is.
She just like, I guess, I mean, we're not really talking about her quite yet, but.
Well, let's talk about her. Why not?
Yeah.
She had
just
some
like
great
the
lines.
Look on her face when they were being driven back to Monterey from bankruptcy court.
Bankruptcy court.
She was talking about how like Amabella is gonna have just like a wonderful day. Like, whoa. It was pretty psycho.
Yeah.
But I was
well, when she, her explanation to her husband as to like why she's having such like a reaction to this whole thing was probably the scene of the whole season so far for me.
That was a great scene, and I think that kind of explains all the other actions. Sorry, go ahead.
Her entire character. She's just like, why she cares so much about everything about Emma Bella, and like why all of this matters so much to her, and all these crazy parties that she throws for her. And it's just like, it was epic. And when they asked for her wedding ring, and then like,
I know. I felt terrible.
But what I loved also about her answer to Gordon was that, like, in the very beginning of her answer, you think that she's not gonna like really be implicating him as much, and you think that maybe this is her thawing on like their relationship issues.
No.
But then she just digs in.
Yeah. And she's like, and it's always a man. And she's just like, and that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, well, yeah, bravo.
I forget exactly.
Even when she's talking to like Celeste and Jane later, and she's just like, or Madeline later, and she's just like, we always stay, don't we?
I actually wrote this down. So she said, they betray us and we stay. They lie, they cheat on us and we stay. And then she cuts it off because Madeline's like, did you really just say that out loud?
And she's like, I did.
I did.
But Someone tell me to stop talking.
But I do think that Renata does definitely have feelings for Gordon still somewhere in there, because she doesn't want to. Now, I know that status is a big thing for her, but she doesn't want to give up the wedding ring. And then you have that scene of her, like that very silent scene in the bathroom where she takes it off and she just has a flashback of having to give the ring and the keys over. And then, you know, she has the image of Amabella in her head. So you can, to me, I understood that as reality was kind of hitting her, and she was also mourning, like, not only not being rich anymore, like the Tesla being taken away, but she was mourning what she couldn't give to Amabella anymore. And she was feeling sad about the wedding ring, because she did, you know, I think that it will get to a point where she could forgive him. And I think she knows that. But I mean, I don't know. I'd probably be like her, where I'd be like,
well, because it's like, he's not the same person anymore at this point. Like, it's like, if he could do that to her, knowing that she basically all of that money was like sacrificing time and sacrificing like everything to like give, because it's, she brought that in.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
I
was going to say, Renata had, I think yes, she realizes that, and I think that when she was talking about, you know, we stay, when she told him, you know, just men not taking advantage of my shit or whatever, making my shit worthless. It was just a man making my shit worthless. I think we're definitely seeing Renata go through all of the feels at once, and I don't think that she has properly come to terms yet with what happened the night of the charity.
Yeah.
And then what's happening right now to her marriage, and what's happening right now to her daughter, and what's happening right now with her money. And I think we're starting to see it.
About her past, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
Which I think that we might see more of, if not this season, next season, because then we heard about, like, are your parents, you know.
Uh-huh. I am self-made.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, if she's like, it's always a man that takes it away from you, like, what does that mean?
Like
what's that about, Renata?
Yeah. So that's why
that's suspicious language.
We've gotten a lot of foreshadowing over the last four episodes, and I think that we're gonna get a lot. Maybe we're not doing Renata parents storyline this season because we've got some other moms in the picture, but I could see that coming into play next season.
Yeah, for sure.
And then other great Renata lines of the night were, it's better that we don't have to sit around those penniless losers as though they're not us. I know, right? Where's some others? Oh, the lawyer who was like, people file for bankruptcy all the time. Some even go on to become president.
Yep.
We laughed a lot at that in this house.
Oh, that was too rude.
We had the Botox admission. $4,200 for Botox? That's a lot of money.
I'm telling you, these Monterey hospitals are expensive.
They must be because
I don't know what the ballpark is for Botox, but that was hilarious.
I believe
that sounds. I mean, I guess that I don't know. So I have had Botox before in my head, but that was for migraines,
right?
So I don't know if it's calculated the same,
but it would be covered by here. Yeah.
It was covered by insurance, but like if you look at the full cost, it's like $1,500.
So. Yeah, exactly. And I know a couple of people in my building at work who did Botox through Groupon a few years ago, and they were fine. Yeah. So
maybe it's like the better Botox.
Yeah, it must be.
I mean, mine's probably like a different kind too.
The it's Tesla,
not like meant to like last.
Right.
The same. I don't know. And it was the like
Tesla
the back
Botox,
of my scalp, not in my forehead. So.
Right. I just also thought it was, again, showing like she had to be humiliated into admitting that. And even then she couldn't say it out loud. She just, you know, did the forehead.
I thought
motion.
It was going to be something way worse. I was like,
I know.
Thought it was going to be like IVF or like, yeah, she said $4,200. And then I was like, no, IVF is like $40,000. So, like, so I was like, 42 is like not a lot. Yeah. But it's also a lot. So like, what is it? What is it? Like, what did you have done? Your boobs? Yeah. Like,
right. I know. Right. That was no, because so when Jay was like that, and I was like, no, it's probably just a boob job, because that was what I had responded. And then I was like, oh. I thought that if she had said like a nose job, I would have, you know, been like, okay, I think that meant whatever. Anyway, I was just so she had to be humiliated down to admitting that, and then even then she makes the comment like from dealing with men like you my whole life, and then the what was he called, he wasn't the judge, he was the bankruptcy
lawyer.
Dude, yeah,
the guy with all the power.
the trustee or something, and then he like takes away everything like to be spiteful, in my opinion, and I thought that was really mean.
Well, yes, she was a total dick. Yeah.
Okay, she wasn't
not
an asshole.
Following the rules, and she's being rude. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to feel sorry for somebody who is like, I just spent $4,200 on Botox.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good point.
You know?
Yeah. I think the wedding ring would made me sad, though, because like you do sort of forget about that. Like,
yeah.
I think she genuinely did forget to list that. You know, it's not like they were doing that on purpose to like leave it out.
Sure.
You know, it's like, oh, I forgot. Like,
yeah,
it's my wedding ring, you know?
Yeah, I would agree. And then we end the episode. We're not an NC episode with revealing that she is the one that hired the lawyer for Celeste, the family lawyer. So, you know, she does have some good in her somewhere.
Yeah.
but another really solid episode for Renata, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, she's great.
Yeah. And then so we talked a little bit about Jane's bangs before, but Jane and Corey move things along a little bit more this episode, where she is trying to work through her, you know, rape flashbacks and ends up telling him about about Ziggy's conception and the fact that she was violently raped. So I thought it was more like, you know, her storyline seems to be more subtle this season, and I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also thought it was weird when she had that conversation with Celeste and asked Celeste if she had ever been raped by Perry.
Yes.
Ditto.
And then Celeste said no, which I found to be confusing because, like,
we saw her get raped by Perry last season. Yes.
But Celeste is very much in her mind.
Yeah. So Celeste is in denial. It just sucks because it makes it seem like Jane is in this place where, like, she's all alone on this island of Perry, like, treated me this way and treated her that way. But it's like, no, he was very violent with her.
Yeah.
She's just also a very violent person in her own regard when it comes to sexual encounters. So, you know, it's different. Like, but that was an awkward conversation for sure.
That was awkward. But I don't have a whole lot to say about Jane's storyline because I think,
just like, why is she still dating Corey? Good question.
I like Corey. He's sweet.
He is sweet, but
he's good for her.
I don't get it.
He still looks 12 to me.
He looks 12, but I just, like, haven't gotten very much from him other than, like, he likes her, so.
And I think that that's what she likes about him, is yeah, he's not intimidating.
I just like a little bit more about him, just from a character standpoint. Like,
he likes to surf, dude. He likes to boogie board.
Yes, and, like, he loves sustainable fish. Like.
Okay, fair enough. And then, I guess, pivoting into Celeste and Mary Louise. Okay, so we have Mary Louise shows up at the pumpkin carvings, right? And then
as one does with a bundt cake,
you know, as they do, they're like, oh, my kid, the grandkids, my 8-year-old grandkids invited me here, so this is totally normal. Am I imposing? Like, okay, psychopath.
And this was at Madeline's house.
It was at Madeline's house.
Oh,
I know.
Already have a rivalry with her, you know, like, what are you thinking?
Right. And then we have this moment where Mary Louise reveals, oh so innocently as only Mary Louise can, that she has rented space in the same apartment complex that Jane lives in. To which so everybody
she can just
is
casually
like,
drop in and they can have sleepovers. No biggie.
Yeah. Which I'm assuming everyone in the world responded the same way as we did in my house, which was like, ugh. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. I was just like, what's worse is that she said all of this all in front of the kids too.
Yep. The parents there's no can't going react.
Back. And there's no going back too.
Yeah.
Because the kids are committed. That's it. Sleepover.
But she knows. Yeah, she knows how to play it.
Like, I don't doubt that she's grieving her kid, and I feel bad for her in those moments where she seems like she actually is grieving her kid, but she is classic emotional manipulator. And that is like exhibit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 right there.
Yeah.
And she's and so nice to Jane.
Yeah.
And then behind her back
is
continues to victim blame her and doubt her story.
I don't think that she was really raped, which brings us to what I think was the scene of the episode. In an episode where there were a lot of scenes that could be scene of the episode, but this was just my opinion, where Celeste takes her aside and she was like, I don't really think that, between you and me, I don't really think that she was a rape victim. Like, why was he even with her that night? What was he looking for? Perhaps seeking refuge from? And then she says, if there's one, there's others, in which Celeste just bitch slaps her.
The slap heard around the world. I mean, it is quite possible that if there's one, there are others. I kind of agree with her, but what I agree with is if there's one rape victim, mm-hmm. Perry has one rape victim, he probably has others.
Yeah, whereas Mary Louise is saying if he cheated on you, it's because it's your fault.
It's your fault. Like,
right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Not
how many
like
other
he people he, right. he had like consensual relationships, which
he had consensual relationships outside of his marriage that his wife didn't know about
because
she was sucks, like,
yeah, because the wife, whatever, you know, just so it's interesting to see this evolution of like Mary Louise the victim blamer, Mary Louise like the naysayer, Mary Louise, totally. Like just like the different sort of stages that you can observe, obviously, in like real life too, of like the way that these kind of things go down, like the rationalizations and then the sort of shifting of the story. And she couldn't even originally, she couldn't even like believe that Perry would have had, you know, any sort of like
side relationship at all,
right? Side relationship at all, exactly, consensual or not. And now she's like to the point where, oh yeah, he probably had a bunch, but he was like running obviously from something at home.
And she's right. like obsessed with Ziggy because Ziggy looks so much like her other son. Like, exactly. And what happened with the other son? Like, it's so suspicious.
Did the accident and then her husband blamed her for it and they got a divorce afterwards. I'm like, what? I want to know about this accident. What
and I want to know about this husband. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's all so suspicious.
Yes, like, especially when she's blaming herself for her husband leaving, it makes me really wonder, like, was she drunk driving that night? Was she...
She said that she blames herself, too.
And so she deserves
that's
to
why I'm
be,
like,
yeah.
what happened?
Mm-hmm. Or is she just a victim of manipulation by her husband who convinced her that it was her fault, and then he went off to go be, like, a better dad somewhere else, and then she's just had all this... I mean, the human psyche is crazy, right? Like, she could have...
Yeah.
it could have been not her fault at all. Her husband mm-hmm. convinced her it was her fault. And then she lived with that all those years and it warped her. Apparently, you know, she didn't go to confession or whatever. And warped Perry. It warped her. And now she's being the only type of person that she knows how to be as a result of this, which is mm-hmm. the manipulative, grieving psychopath that we're seeing.
I mean, I think that we've all seen sort of up close and personal over the last, like, approximately 2.5 years what gaslighting is like.
Yes.
So.
And Mary Louise is gaslighting herself and Celeste at the same time.
Well, and she's also transitioned from, so she shows up in town to help out Celeste as mm-hmm. a grieving grandmother who is, you know, sad, but, you know, happy that she has these grandchildren to take care of and be with and just sort of, you know, grieve alongside of. And then all of a sudden it's okay, I need to support my daughter-in-law because clearly she has issues now too. And, you know, the boys need me more. And then it's okay, it's something's wrong with her. And now it's all of a sudden I'm taking them away from her.
Like, yeah. Right.
This massive transition from I'm just happy to be part of their lives to they're going to be my new sons.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also going to take – and, like, Ziggy will be there too. And that's – Jane confronts her at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I just, like, want to know, are you going to take my kid too?
And she's like, no, you're a wonderful mother. And she's like, well, right now I am in your eyes. Like, what if I do something that makes you unhappy, you know?
Right, like, exactly.
Celeste is a wonderful mother.
Right. But then she kind of, and this kind of made me nervous because she got to her at the end where she was like, she has Ambien and Xanax and Vicodin. She's got all these pills. Yeah. And would you let Ziggy in the car with her? And I have to admit that if I were Jane, I would have also stopped for a second and been like,
I mean, she's not wrong.
Yeah? She's not wrong.
The woman is on drugs.
Right.
That is
Celeste
true.
Does need help, but so does Mary Louise.
So does, like, Mary Louise. And because even with Mary Louise, like, you see all the different layers here where we have her telling Celeste, like, oh, by the way, I totally skipped the best line of that entire part where she goes, what shall we call that? Foreplay?
Oh my god, yeah, that was killer. That was such a good Meryl Streep.
That was, like, such a great delivery and line and everything. And Jay and I were just like, oh shit, she said that. She went there.
Well, it was also like a recognition of, like, she's been denying this whole time that they had that kind of relationship of, like, mm-hmm. anger leading to violence, leading to sex, that it was something that they enjoyed. And it's just like she was denying that and saying, like, my son would never be like that. And it's like, yep. Okay, I'm recognizing that he was like that. I'm just pretending that's not
which
the case.
Which kind of makes you think, like, okay, maybe she's a little bit more with it than she's saying. But
Exactly.
Right. So then, but we have her later, you know, she's saying grief is meant to be shared. And then she goes to see the lawyer about filing for grandparents' rights, which I don't know how it is in California. But as somebody who works law adjacent in North Carolina, grandparents' rights, really, they're not easy to get. At least I'm pretty sure here that they are not.
I was gonna say, you're gonna know way more about this than I'm gonna know. I was like, IDK.
I don't know how it is in California, but I believe that grandparent rights in general are tough or difficult when, you know, you have two parents around. They're difficult to win those cases.
Yeah, anyway. I know nothing about those actual laws in California, but I will say usually, like, people's rights are pretty well protected in California. So I can't imagine it would be super easy, but they do. I mean, like, the problem with Mary Louise is that she does have all this, like, access to these, having seen the drugs. And
yeah, she does. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of ammo. So at one hand, you have to think, okay, is she grieving or is she genuinely concerned about it? Because she did not right away say, here's, I'm serving you tomorrow. Like, she waited until it got to a point. Like, I mean, she played her cards well. She waited until she had a reason to give them to her. But it was also interesting where the lawyer was playing kind of dirty and she acted like she was like, wait, why can't you just call? And the lawyer was like, dummy, this is how it works. Like, you need to conflict out all these other people so you will win. Which was the lawyer Dennis O'Leary?
Actually, yes. Okay. I saw that online.
Okay,
because I saw that Larry was in the episode. Yes.
Okay, because
I guess that was him.
Okay.
I feel like if this weren't a television show, what actually would happen would be social services would be called and they'd be put in a foster care system. Like Mary Louise and Celeste wouldn't actually get them.
Well, yes. When social services comes out, it's also really difficult to convince them to take kids out of their homes as well. I mean, it's
right. I just mean in California, it's much more.
Unless they're on the southern border, then we're good.
Right.
Sorry, this is not the broadcast.
This is not the broadcast.
I was like, it took me a minute because I'm so sleepy, but I was like, wait.
But if you want to
be funny,
but if you want to hear more about that, subscribe to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen because we talk Shandy. About that a lot. Usually it's me who really makes the slip up. Look, at least, all right, I'll say this for Mary Louise. At least she provided them with soap and a change of clothing. They got to shower at her house, okay?
Right. She clearly cares about them.
Right.
In her own warped way.
In her own warped way.
And then she sees them as replacements for her sons, which is upsetting in its own right. But
yeah.
But what are you going to do? And she gets a spare in Ziggy.
And she does. She's got two heirs and a spare. And according to her, she's probably going to go around and be like, she'll probably be that woman who places an ad in the newspapers like, have you been raped by my son? Do you have a baby because of it?
Have some of your hair for a paternity test?
If so, I'm looking for sleepovers and stringy pizza.
So funny. Oh my God.
Stringy pizza. Ew. That scene, whenever she has scenes with them where she's reminding them of their dad, it really freaks me out.
I know. And then to finish up real quick, we have Bonnie, and Bonnie's big thing again in this episode was her mom had a stroke, and we see while Elizabeth is falling, and then when she wakes up again that she's having these visions, and we find out at the very end that her vision is of Bonnie face down in the water drowning, seemingly, which I'm assuming is just more metaphor for Bonnie's going down.
Or is Bonnie really just going to die in this season?
No, they can't do that.
It would become really problematic.
I was going to say,
have an Oscar.
She doesn't have an Oscar yet.
She can't stay. She can't sit with us. But I do have to mention, since I'm not normally on the show, that I was genuinely upset by the last episode when they did the flashback of her mom pushing her under the water, teaching her to swim. So upset.
Well, between
I forget if we talked about this when we talked about it 2 years ago. Fair. Did you guys read the book?
Not yet. It's still on my list of things to do 2 years later.
Fine. Because in the book, not to give it away, but there.
No, go ahead. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. The Bonnie relationship with the abuse and the the reason that she ends up doing what she does is more with her father.
Right.
And it seems like they're doing it more with her mother in this show. Because the dad is basically toast. Like
he's
a piece of white bread. So another I'm not really sure.
It's like Bonnie married her dad.
Yeah, it seems like they're pushing it more towards her mother, which is kind of interesting to show, I guess maybe abuse can come from
females. So also the whole show is built on the relationship between mothers and their children.
Yes.
So
for sure. So it does make a lot of sense. And abuse doesn't have to be physical between just men and women. Like it can come from women to women. So
and also can be mental abuse from men to women, because what her dad said to her was pretty
so her dad was what did you say to her, or something like that.
It was basically putting the blame for her stroke onto her.
She gave her a stroke, even though it was a trippy lady.
Exactly.
She looked fierce in her outfit at the party too.
they both did. Everybody looked fierce at that party. I wish that I was at that party.
Bonnie looked so good without the braids. I was like, girl. Yeah.
I know.
Those braids out.
Before we move on to listener feedback, because we've got a bunch of it, do you guys think that Bonnie kind of ruined it and set off another chain of events with Detective Quinlan when she yells at her in the hospital?
Possibly, but I also, I feel like that could also be cleared up in a 2 second conversation where.
Yeah, but this is.
It's her mom just had a stroke. She's in a very.
Well, and Detective
situation. Yeah.
But this
she
is
even
also
says, she's like, oh, that's a patient's daughter.
Right.
No. The doctor says it. And then Quinlan's like, yeah, I know who she is. But this is also a TV show that's like, you know, white lady telenovela. So there's a good chance that it's going to set
off a
chain.
Well, we saw the detective quite a few times this episode.
We did.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like the next episode they do need to go back to that. Like that, because it's been a while since there's been any sort of like who pushed who, why did he fall? Right. You know, like we haven't done any of that. It's been a lot of custody stuff. So
yeah,
I'm sure we'll get more of that the next episode.
Exactly. Okay. So let's go and hear from what Amanda had to say before we go into the listener feedback. And Amanda had written in, love you ladies. Here are my thoughts. I'm already one drink in because vacation. So hopefully this makes some semblance of sense. So here we go.
Hello, ladies. Greetings from the beach. It's very weird to be calling into your own podcast, but, you know, here we are. Angela, I'm so sorry that I am missing you this week. I hope you will come back and talk with us sometime soon, because I would love to spend some time with you. But yes, so I thought I would just call in and share a few of my thoughts from this past episode. First of all, being I'm so, so, so glad that we haven't had a Shandy sighting yet, because I would have been absolutely heartbroken to not be able to talk about it with you ladies. So I'm glad we get one more week. My second thought, holy Mary Louise. This was a very big Meryl Streep episode, starting with the opening scene with the pumpkin carving. Who does that? Very unnerving, but the highlight of, I think, watching the episode for me was Daniel's comment of, you don't slap Meryl Streep, which I'd have to say I agree with. But the other things that I thought were particularly noteworthy, and I will keep this brief because I'm sure you ladies are going to have a very spirited and lengthy discussion in my absence. But the things that I found particularly notable was Bonnie's mom, obviously. We saw more of her visions with the water and all the flashes of light, which I thought were was very, very foretelling. And I think to hearken back to our earlier thoughts, I think water is definitely going to play a big role in the climax of the season, so I'm excited to see where that goes. The bartender, when Jane and Celeste are hanging out, do we think that is back tattoo man, or do we think this is someone different? I think it might be back tattoo. I think I saw a little something when he turned around, but you know, who can tell? I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say about that, because I'm sure that's something you all noted as well. And lastly, a thing that I noticed while watching this episode, well, not so much noticed, but something that really struck me was how every episode we've seen thus far has started with a flashback of Perry's fall from a different character's perspective. And as we see it repeated each time through a different character's eyes, we get a little more to the story. If I remember correctly, the first time we saw it, it was completely silent. And this week, through Madeline's eyes, we got a bit more of the audio and the dialogue between the women. And we got to see a little more of what happened in the aftermath. So I'm very excited to see how that develops as the episodes proceed, and if it is eventually leading up to us being able to see the entirety of what happened through every character's perspective. But yeah, those were my big takeaways from the episode. I miss you ladies so very much and can't wait to be back next week. And I'm so excited to hear what I'm sure will be lively and stimulating conversation that you have with Angela while I am away. And I'm excited to be back with you next week. Yeah, so I'm going to go drink a cocktail by the beach, and I will see you all next week. Much love. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so thoughts on Amanda's email, voicemail.
I'm jealous.
I know. So Amanda actually references the back tattoo guy with ambient sex. And we also, we got a voicemail and then some follow-up information about this theory from Tasia, who you guys might remember from last week. Shandy mentioned she had a theory that Celeste, when she was driving the car, she was driving home from having ambient sex with some dude with a back tattoo, and it was up in the air of that, how she got her bruise and whatnot, or was it just Perry with a weird shadow? But I don't know. I think that this episode actually kind of gives some credence to Tasia's theory. So let's do the voicemail, and we will follow up with the email stuff. Here you go.
Hey, ladies. It's Tasia. Shandy has been telling me to call in with feedback about the lies, so here I am. So I have like my notes out because I have been taking notes because I've been going crazy about the series and chatting with Shandy about it pretty frequently. Also, side note, Shandy, if you are the next episode and I am not sitting right next to you and you are on screen, I'm going to lose my fucking shit. Anyway, so feedback from last night's episode. Fucking Mary Louise is Nutter Butters crazy. I cannot believe that she has invited herself over. Like, I heard there's a party here, guys. Just that I invite myself over, but I brought cake, so it's all good. Like, she's fucking Nutter Butters. I died when Madeline's daughter was like, look, Mom, opposites. And she was like, you're unhinged. That was pretty funny. And then the last, like, big thing, and I had made the comment on the feedback through the comments on Facebook, fucking ambient sex. I fucking called it. Colleen, I called it. I knew it. I knew it. not that I'm excited that she's like doing drugs and having rough sex with strangers, because it's not healthy and not smart and probably not the best practice for her mental health, but I was quite pleased that I motherfucking called it. Anyway, though, I'm trying to think of anything else I wanted to bring up, but this episode was interesting. I definitely think the last two episodes have not been as awesome as episode number two. That was probably my favorite so far, but I'm excited to see what happens next week when they do therapy in Big Sur and we see motherfucking Shandy make her appearance. Anyway, the ladies, I'm enjoying listening to this, and Colleen, in response to you coming into California, I hope that we get to go geocaching with Shandy. That would like literally like make me so happy. But anyway, have a good one. Bye.
Woo. All right.
Yay, Tasia called in. And then she also followed up afterwards, because we were talking about Tattoo Guy and trying to figure out if ambient sex guy from this episode was the same as Tattoo Guy from episode two. And Tasia says it's a different dude. Joe has a smaller tattoo on his right shoulder, but not a giant tribal back tattoo. And then Tasia further said, also, I'm kind of not fully upset with the idea of Celeste not having her kids at the moment. I hate Mary Louise and don't agree with how she's doing things, but I have to agree. If I had kids, I wouldn't want them driving in the same car as Celeste, especially not over the Bixby Bridge, which appears to be the only way to get to Monterey. Celeste and Madeline are both the opposite of the door on hinges.
Yeah. Let's be honest. That's fair. All of them are the opposite of the door on hinges. I think that Ed might be the closest to hinged on the entire show, and that's saying something.
And he's like shutting down.
Exactly.
Anyway, so.
He's like locking his door. He's like, click.
Yes, yes. He's like totally emotionally unavailable.
Right. Because even hang out with Nathan, who's just boring.
I was just going to say, I think Nathan may be a little more hinged. Clearly, the principal and the teacher are definitely unhinged.
Yes.
Despite being my favorites. And also, so, okay, Tasia, A, I'm going to start calling Mary Louise Nutter Butters crazy. it just flows better than fucking psychopath that I've been calling her. And then, okay, I am willing to concede that you were probably right that Celeste.
She's not going to like that probably.
I'm not going to full-on concede, okay? It depends on what your definition of probably is, okay? You're probably right that she was probably having the ambient intercourse with somebody before Joe the bartender.
So, the ambient intercourse.
So, I mean, we could definitely say she was having ambient intercourse this episode.
Yeah. That's for sure. And ambient intercourse stayed A little bit too
stayed
late.
Over.
Yeah.
And she Ooh. Didn't remember.
That is actually terrifying, right? Like,
so yeah. scary. Oh my like, gosh.
I think, you know.
It's so just bad. Just really,
really bad, right? Like, I've had mornings where I've been like drank or something and been like, did I say anything stupid last night? Like, let me yeah. check my Facebook activity wall. But
it's a little, and it's a little different, like when you're younger and like you're not, right. there's the responsibility of children.
Right.
Even yeah, if, and even if they're staying at grandma's, it's just.
Well, yeah. no, it's like if she wants to have a one night stand, like go girl, get it. Like have your one night stand, but like perhaps
just don't take
you
Ambien
should stop taking the Ambien if you know that you're getting yeah. into a car accident, you're having sex that you can't remember having, right? Like, is that even consensual yep. where you can't, you don't even know you're doing it? Like all I mean, sorts of things to, right? Gray areas all over the place. But I mean, the bartender might not have known, right? Because you're apparently,
there's no way he could have known.
Right.
He couldn't have known about the Ambien, but he was like pushing drinks on her while we saw two.
Well, I think he just was like, do you want another one? Which, I mean, I've had bartenders ask me that. It's kind of their job. But
It's true. But if like, you know how many drinks you sold to a person. Right. Maybe you shouldn't then also have sex with them. I don't know. But right. I have so many questions just because I don't really know how the Ambien works. Like, I'm wondering how long is a person high when they take Ambien? So what time did she take it? Was she already high when she was at drinks with, was that with Jane?
Yeah.
With
Jane, yeah. Jane.
Like at what point did she take it? Did she wait to get home to take it? I don't know. I'm curious Ambien about all of those things.
Ambien hits your bloodstream within 30 minutes of taking it, and it can last for up to 8 hours after use.
Holy shit. So is Ambien something you take to sleep?
Yes.
Yes.
Like a sleeping 100%. Pill?
Yeah. Some people take it, fall asleep, and then wake up without yeah. realizing it.
And they sleepwalk.
I had a friend in college that would wake up and go online and order yeah. stuff from Forever 21.
Oh, mm-hmm. no fucking and, way.
And so I know, she would get all these packages, and she didn't remember ordering them.
Yep. I know somebody that ordered one of those knockoff Coach bags from China while they were on Ambien, and they didn't know until it showed up, and they were like, yeah. what the fuck is this?
She would yeah. get these packages. She'd be like, oh, I guess I was shopping on Ambien again. And I'm like, mm-hmm. that's fucking terrifying.
There are stories of people that have fallen downstairs because they like mm-hmm. got up and were like walking around Ambien. So yeah, the Ambien affects some people. They go to sleep and they're great, but it affects other people in ways of being like,
so like the
fully
moral
conscious
of the story
and sleepwalking,
don't
but not
take Ambien.
Yeah, probably.
If you take it and you have a reaction where you wake up
and you're doing things,
like, are doing things on Ambien, then you shouldn't take.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
But see, for me, like, maybe this is like why I don't know. Drugs kind of freak me out, but like because for me, just like the fact that that's even a possibility would be
like the neurons are firing.
Well, right. If I don't know how I'm going to react, yeah. then I would not totally. Even want to. Even if a doctor prescribed it, I would
Shandy
not
is
want
team
to try.
NyQuil all the way.
Yeah, there's definitely less intense sleeping
options.
Pills than Ambien.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Damn. Because yeah. the other thing that I was wondering is, you know, like it would be very on brand for like a sort of like really well off white lady to just yeah. be like on pills.
Yeah.
Kind mm-hmm. of, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. But very Valley of the Dolls. Like,
yeah. Well, I think that we can all agree that Celeste is clearly struggling mentally and emotionally. And whether she's taking the Ambien to sleep or to escape because she knows that this is going to happen, like,
yeah.
She needs help. Like, Mary Louise is right about that. She definitely
yeah, I mean, she got
help.
In a car accident.
Right.
Like, she was driving a motorized vehicle, and got in right. a car accident. I think, for me, that would be the point where I'm like, no more Ambien.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and she just got out of this relationship where she was beaten for however long it was.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know, Celeste is not okay. Like, out of all
she
of them,
more
she's
more than therapy, and she's a different therapist.
Yeah, she
therapist
does. Which,
oh, interesting
speaking
you should
of... We actually have an email about that.
Yeah, so Joanne wrote in about the therapy, and she says, to the three broad little liars, or I guess that should be three broad little lie podcasters. First, a disclaimer, I have no expertise on the subject of psychology, so the following are just my opinions with no real scientific backing. But who needs scientific backing nowadays?
We are podcasters.
Well, I find Dr. Therapy Lady, forgot her name, to be a bit too blunt and direct than expected. I do not have as much issues as others have with her technique. There are numerous types of therapy, including two that should involve positiveness and listening and support. Grief therapy for dealing with loss, support therapy, a place I think most successful therapies should end up, and two that require more digging and a more confrontational style, couples and, for lack of a better word, internalized. In those two, the therapist needs to dig into the core issues, which are often hidden either between couples or within oneself. Since the whole point of the show is Big Little Lies, there is a lot of hidden internalization that the therapist is trying to have them confront and admit to in order to move into a more support position. When I was in therapy 20 years ago, I found myself upset and sometimes crying after my sessions, but I also recognized that my therapist was not going to allow me to just have her tell me how to run my life and that I needed to confront my own thoughts, needs, issues, etc. After about a year or so, I will always remember the session when I walked into the office and said, I know what I want, I know what it means, and I'm ready to do it. Immediately, our session switched from internalized confrontational to supportive and forward-looking. I still had much work to do, but because she made me work through the issues, I was in the right place when I needed to be. But I definitely think for the sake of moving the story along, Dr. Therapy Lady is a bit too blunt and direct. Anyway, the show is great. The podcast is great. And I can't wait for the star to show up in the next episode. Go Shandy. Joanne.
You know, I the have star. To. I can't wait. I can't wait. I have to say that what Joanne says about the therapist not allowing her to just, you know, tell you how to run your life, you need to confront your own thoughts. As somebody that's also been through therapy, I remember the exact session where I also had that like switch, and she had asked me a simple question, and I was stumped. I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, why can't I do that? And then, you know, from there on out, that was really a turning point for me. Jay has been through therapy as well, and he got it a whole lot quicker, actually, than I did, you know, with the, I know what I want, I know what it means, I know, you know, ready to do. I know Amanda has talked about that, too. I know somebody right now that's been in therapy for the last couple of months, and we've had discussions about it as well, like what she expected her therapy to be like and the frustration she originally had. And, you know, I actually went through that, too, where they're not supposed to tell you what to do. They're supposed to guide you to figure out it on your own, because if somebody's always telling you, you're not learning. Like, you need to learn those coping mechanisms and those solutions and stuff yourself, because otherwise she's going to release you at some point, and you're still not going to have those skills. So anyway, that was.
And everybody gets something different from therapy too. It's like, it's what you make of it, and it's like, it's not for everybody, and it's like some certain people don't need certain kinds of talk therapy.
I agree.
Yeah. And you know, it's like for me, it's like I have tried therapy so many different times, and it's just not quite the type of like anxiety. Like, it doesn't work quite the same way for me that it works for other people. Mm-hmm. It like adds stress for me in certain ways. So I tend to shy away from therapy, and it's just how I am. But
yeah.
It's the way they portray the therapist on Big Little Lies is very interesting.
She's aggressive.
And I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to make a big bang, and they're trying to put as much as they can into this tiny little scene.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where they like, they're going to have issues, is because like you don't get a win in one session of therapy. It's like, it sometimes takes months and months and months to like get to what happened with Celeste last season, you know, whereas like mm-hmm. she had two sessions of therapy and she's going to leave her husband and blah, blah, blah. But the thing with Madeline, I thought was like a little much. I was just like a little.
Well, and I think Madeline represents the people that don't get traditional therapy the way that yeah. other people do.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I felt like it was just like we were meant to see it from Madeline's point of view, mm-hmm. not from the like not it like it. In my opinion, maybe we were even seeing it through Madeline's eyes, not mm-hmm. necessarily what was actually happening. Like mm-hmm. maybe the therapist was saying things, but maybe they weren't actually what was being said. And, right. you know, so because they often do that. I mean, like that one scene where everyone's laughing at Renata.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We don't even know if that was actually what was going on.
Right.
It's like, yeah. what kind of a therapist says that? Like, it was very odd. Do you think it's because you didn't go to college? Like,
yeah.
No.
Well, I could see a therapist doing that on session, like, 4, but yeah.
Yeah, but it was just so weird. And Ed was just sitting there, and he was like, I'm right. Like,
right. Well, I guess that just means that there's really no one set way for everyone. There's no...
So they'll just go to Big Sur.
Just go to Big Sur.
That's, yeah. I get it. That's where I go to heal, too.
Exactly. Anyway, thank you guys all for writing in and calling in. If you like to give us any feedback whatsoever, we have a Facebook group. You can search for The Broadcast with Amanda Shani and Colleen or The Broadcast or whatever on Facebook and leave your comments there. Or you can send us an email, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail, and that's 331-276-2373. We love listener feedback. I think it really contributes positively to any conversation. So thank you very much. Shandy, do you have anything for the local this week, or are we just going to get one giant Shandy bomb next week?
Yeah, so this is going to be pretty short and sweet this week. I really did not have, there was nothing that I could even write down for like locals lore. And I think it was mostly because basically like it didn't seem like we got really any new locations this week, except for the bar, which I was like really looking at closely for clues. But I really think that that bar was just a set. It was certainly mm-hmm. not anything in Monterey I would recognize. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, they, like they went back to Lover's Point to the cafe. There was a part where like you could see like a bench and I was like, oh, that's I run by there all the time. And then I was like, oh, yeah, they're at Lover's Point. They're just like 5 feet away from like where they set up the cafe. But right. So, yeah. But next week, I do think that I will have a lot more to say.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Exciting.
And then real quick, as far as the music goes, we had a song called We Can't Live Together by Timmy Thomas. Apparently, Drake sampled this track on his ubiquitous hit Hotline Bling. It plays out. What?
You're so hip.
Do you know that I just learned what that, what is it, Old Town Road song is? And that was because my 5-year-old was singing it. And
I don't like, know what that is. Why would I? I don't okay. know anything.
Okay, great. Because I still haven't heard it, but apparently
my
that's
top
like
playlist
the song.
On Spotify is the 70s Road Trip.
Fantastic.
Clearly living at large over here.
Living at large.
Although there is a really good Spotify playlist for Big Little Lies. So,
ooh. Oh, awesome. I should check that out. Okay. Yeah. So, Why Can't We Live Together by Timmy Thomas. It's a Drake Hotline Bling. I know that song, though. Plays as the Big Little Lies ladies and their kids carve the pumpkins in the kitchen. Amabella's party is filled with wonderful 70s. So this must have been like really your jam, Angela. Like Donna Summer
totally.
And Bee Gees, Disco Inferno by the Tramps. So
okay, it was so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. All of that was a really fun, I think, musical soundtrack today. But yeah, I think that about does it. Again, if you want to send us an email, broadcasters3@gmail.com, you can give us a call, 331-276-2373. Thank you to everybody that wrote in today. Thank you to everybody that is listening to this right now. Thank you so much, Angela, for coming on and hanging out with us tonight.
Of course.
It was really great. We love you.
Yes.
I love listening to you guys. I love talking with you more, but I love listening to you every week. So,
fun trivia fact for broadcast fans out there. We frequently tell people that we speak your feels, and that is because we quote an iTunes review that Angela left for us during our first season.
Yeah.
I love that. It's like, yeah, I can't believe it. It's so funny. Like, I thought that was so funny that you guys said that, and I was like, I didn't think that was something that was unique, but I guess it was. Who knew?
So thank you. You have helped define us for a generation to come.
For a generation to come.
While they're worrying about climate crisis, they'll always remember who spoke their feels. Angela, where can we find you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Twitter. My hashtag or my handle is at Angpalagi. So it's A-N-G-P-A-L-A-G-G-I. That is my maiden name. So sorry, I'm not changing it. And that's my Instagram and Twitter. So
awesome.
That's where I'm at.
Cool. You are more than welcome to come back on this show and the broadcast whenever you want, because we heart you.
Thank you. Oh, I love you guys. You guys are the best.
No, you are.
Love fest.
Does anybody else have anything before we wrap it up?
Nah.
Okay.
I
well,
think that's it.
Cool. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. Thank you to the patrons that contribute a certain level. That would be Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Drake the Distributor, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. Thank you all, as always, and we'll see you next week. On that note, my name is Colleen.
And I'm Shandy. That doesn't work.
And Amanda's
Angela,
on the
you should go. Usually, yeah, Amanda's on the page. Angela, you should go second.
Okay. We'll do it again.
I didn't know the order.
All good.
My name is Colleen.
I'm Angela.
And I'm Shandy.
Bye, everybody. Peace out.
Bye.
Have a good week.